Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Flash 1080 The Fan.
Less than two to go. First overtime. Tavares trying to fire a shot. It's blocked. Texier out here for Dubois behind the defense. Backhands and scores. The Blue Jackets win in overtime, and Dubois completes a hat-trick.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Greg is getting physical. Yep. Up to Bender against Dame. CJ finds Nurk.
Oh. Nurk over Mount Ball. Gets the dunk, the harm, the highlight. Rip City, you can find that poster here in a few weeks.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
3:24 left in this third quarter. Portland just a game back from the Grizzlies. Dame. Damian Lillard. 8 three-pointers out of 11 attempts.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what's happening? Welcome in. Happy Friday, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Dirt and Sprague on Portland sports leader 1080 The Fan. No Brandon Sprague. He's out today. Three-day weekend for him. I do have Jason Swigard in here. What's happening, Swag?
Oh, we got six elimination hockey games.
Dude,
we
I'm
got
fired
PGA
up,
PGA Championship. Blazers could be in a tie for eighth. Other than the Cardinals not playing baseball anytime soon.
Yeah, well, just forget about that. Let's stay positive today. Who cares about the Cardinals? They suck anyways. Nobody needs to watch them tonight. I do. If I made you pick one thing to watch this weekend, what would you pick?
On the weekend, it'll probably be mostly PGA Championship.
Just major Saturday, Sunday weekend action.
I will, today I've got hockey going all day.
Yeah, today's going to be a wild day in the NHL. It's going to be an awesome day at the PGA Championship. I had that moment last night, and I have probably done this like 10 times now, so I apologize if people are getting tired of it. But like, does anybody else sit around at night, and you just have that moment where you kind of pinch yourself like,
yeah,
this is awesome, man. Yeah. Remember how much April and May sucked?
Yep.
We were watching reruns. You watched all of last year's Stanley Cup playoffs.
I did.
Because there's nothing, nothing to do. We caught up on TV shows.
We binged. We did that Russians thing.
We had our TV show.
You know, you had April. At least you were getting ready for the draft. There was at least something that was in
That's
real
true.
Time going on.
That's true. We had that on the horizon at least.
And
where are guys going to go?
Once that was over.
It was dry, man.
It got dry. Dry for 2 months till the PGA Tour came back.
Yeah, we were walking through the desert a little bit. Now we found the water again. I was like cracking my fourth hazy rock of the night last night, watching like dual screen Stanley Cup playoffs. Like, yep. This is awesome, man.
Well, I worked in nine holes right after work. So then I came back and everybody's blowing up my text and Twitter about the Nurk dunk. Is that what you want after my I went off on their soft play.
Yeah, all those bunnies around the rim. Throw it down, big
That's
man.
That's right. So, that was good to see. He's still trying to do everything in one motion a little bit. But
yeah, he has. It's amazing. And we can just dive right into that game because it was a fun one last night. I think Damian Lillard, by the way, getting an update, he just hit another three. I think that he just went for another three-pointer. He just continues to drain him.
Well, you wondered when maybe heavy legs might catch up with the group.
For sure.
And for the most part, you know, Melo and CJ, they were off.
Yeah, they had off nights last night.
You know, fortunately, Gary Trent brought it.
He's shooting like 65% from three.
It's insane. I know.
He can't miss. But on your nerd point,
Dame hadn't had one of those nights.
No,
yet.
You knew he was going to go for one of those eventually. And they guard. And Malone had a great comment after the game. Like, we were guarding him like we forgot who he was. We weren't fighting through screens. We were leaving him way too much room. And they have historically done a good job. You remember back to that second round series, they were all over him. He didn't play well against Denver.
Without Gary Harris Jr. and Jamal Murray, it's a little
tougher. For sure. That does change them a little bit defensively. Your nerd point, though, because I agreed with you completely against Houston, where he was just kind of really soft around the rim, and you're just like, man, you're going against PJ Tucker. Back him down and dunk on him.
Nobody is going to block your shot. Against Denver, you had Bol and Jokic. You had to be a little careful about maybe trying to rush some shots or make moves quicker. That I get. But against Houston, nobody was going to block your shot. Take your time, take an extra dribble, gather yourself, and then go up strong through contact.
Well, and he would have those moments. So he had that big dunk on Bol Bol. You just heard the highlight of in the open. He had a couple other big dunks in the paint. You're kind of like, all right, there it is. But he also at times reverts back to that. Like, he had one where somebody passed it to him and he was like driving to the hoop for an open layup. And he like turned around and flipped it to Zach. Right. Like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
Go up strong. I don't know if it's, part of the injury stuff and getting the confidence back. But he shows that he can do it. You just wish that it would be a little more consistent.
The game still at times looks like he's still trying to catch up to it a little bit. Like, sometimes his recognition of, oh, wait, who's guarding me? They can't guard me. Yeah. Let me just go and finish this.
Oh, that's right. I'm bigger and stronger than this person. I can back them down and do what I want out here.
I'm hoping it's just, 16 months of rust that he's still, not so much the physical rust, but the mental getting my brain to keep up with the game sort of thing.
Right. You feel like that stuff's going to come. And even last night, for those big dunks and then a couple of bad, 22-7, 4 assists, 1 steal and 2 blocks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what you want. I have been just amazed. And we'll have a lot on Portland today on the show. It has been amazing how much he has changed everything for them. He's better defensively than Hassan Whiteside. His movement is better. He can cover more space on the floor.
He really did a good job of having his body ready in condition. He doesn't look pudgy like he has at times in the past.
No, he's slim Nurkic. My only criticism of his game, honestly, is outside of let's finish strong at the rim a little more consistently. Can we not shoot threes anymore? I'm kind of,
That's the mentality of the
team. It's the new NBA. I get it. But
I think they want him to. They want him to be able to stretch the defense. And against Denver,
he took like two early. Collins took one. It's like, what are we doing, man? Why are we jacking up threes here?
I think against Denver, I understand at least early is you want to see if he can hit one or two, that he's got to force Jokic to come out of the paint. So from a basketball philosophy standpoint, it's like, listen, if they're going to totally back off of you and leave you wide open to sit there and measure it, okay, go ahead and fire one. And if you hit a couple, then great. And I don't think he jacked them up later.
They were both early, if I remember correctly.
I get that early because you're trying to force Jokic to have to come out and open up the paint a little bit.
Yeah, well, they had a great night last night. It was a big win, 125-115, an awesome night for Portland. The news continues to get better. We'll get an update on what's going on in the bubble today as well. But before we do anything else, let's find out what's on tap.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, I gotta go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on Tap, brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. Just pounding some hazy rocks last night. Somebody texted in, is it just me or does Bol Bol look like an alien out there? He's so tall and skinny. Looks like his limbs are too long for his torso. Yeah, I mean, anytime you get that big, you're going to look a little weird. I go more baby giraffe than I do alien. Like, it just doesn't look like it should.
Well, he looks better to me now than he did at Oregon.
He's
Oregon,
bulked up more.
He was ridiculously skinny.
His legs are like 8 feet long. It's like, how is this going to work, man? He is fascinating to me. I'm glad that he's getting some run. Like, they're sitting guys out. Denver's got nothing to play for over the next couple of games. So it was fun to watch him get some minutes. Also, another side note, Michael Porter Jr. is going to be a problem. If he can stay healthy, that guy is going to be a problem. And I already have decided, I think last night officially, I don't like him. I've come to that conclusion. Not a fan.
No, I was, he had a certain edge. I remember covering him with Nathan Hale at the Les Schwab Invitational. Yeah. And he can seem to have an air about him at some point of, I'm doing my own thing, really not listening to you, even though Brandon Roy was his coach.
Right, right.
So he can have, now I don't, That's just, you know, sort of the feel you get. Who knows if that's true or not. And I know Michael Malone's not going to put up with any nonsense from him. So.
Well, he did get yanked in that game last night because he was atrocious defensively. He had a rotation that was one of the worst I have ever seen where he went to, like, cover the paint and Plumlee was already there and he left Trent Jr. wide open. It's like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, there's a bit of Malone will keep him accountable. I think Jokic, I think Jamal Murray, Gary Harris Jr., guys, those are good guys for him to be around because they will hold him accountable for both ends of the floor.
Yeah. You just watch him score, though, at 6'10". He's jacking up those threes, man. Whew. If he can stay healthy, he's going to be a good player. All right, today on the show, it's going to be a busy one. We got a lot going on, man. The world of sports is just nuts right now. PGA Championship Day 2. We'll keep you up to date on that. There is something that is, I don't know if I'd use the word desperately, but much needed in the game of golf, and I hope that it happens this weekend. Get to that a little bit later on. We have an official update on the COVID opt-outs in the NFL. The number is in. How many guys are sitting out? And then which teams are most affected by that? We'll dive into that a little bit. Kyle Bonagura of ESPN, our friend. We've had him on multiple times over the years. He's going to join us at 1. There was a meeting that took place last night between the Pacto Players Movement and Larry Scott. And it went on for a couple of hours, so he's written about it a lot for ESPN. What's the latest on that? You know, what have they discussed? Where are they at on the 50-50 revenue split? All that kind of stuff. Kyle Bonagura will join us at 1 o'clock, and then our friend Mike Richmond, covers the Blazers, of course, will join us for the Daily Ticker. So we're going to be busy, loaded, spraying the line in the final hour. You can keep your fake sponsors rolling in. We'll write them down. Get to those coming up at 230. 503-250-1080 is the fan text line.
And I wasn't kidding. We're sampling Irish whiskeys today.
Oh, we actually are?
Yeah, it's here.
Oh, hell yeah. That's exactly what I needed to hear. I'm going to get that little taste, go home, watch some golf this afternoon. Let's go, baby. The day just keeps getting better. Let's start, though, with those Portland Trailblazers. We can go any way or direction you want. Where are we at on Gary Trent Jr.? Are you buying the jersey? Have we built a statue yet? The weekend is a huge one for them. Are we kind of solidified and thinking they're going to be the 8 seed? And then Damian Lillard deserves credit for something that I kind of forgot about until last night. We got a busy show. We'll start with the Blazers win over Denver. Thank you for being with us on a Friday. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. One big step to the front. That's right. Happy Friday. Welcome back in. 12:15. Thanks for being with us. Mike Richmond, bottom of the hour. We'll talk some Blazers with him. How many games will it take for them to win the NBA Finals? We'll get his thoughts on it. No, another win last night, 125-115. And there was something, there's a lot to break down from that game. Gary Trent Jr. continuing to play well. The landscape around them in the NBA, you know, Memphis has a game today. We'll talk about that. Also, Zion Williamson sitting out tonight, so you're catching a break there. There's also a conspiracy theory floating around about how teams will play against Portland that I'm all in on, and I want to get into that as well. But no, I was reminded of something last night, and I want to give him some credit for it. So in the moment, we're watching Damian Lillard go for 45 points, 12 assists, and 4 rebounds. He set a career high with 11 made three-pointers. He was 13 of 21 from the floor. Like, it's just unbelievable. You knew he was due for one of those games. He's played well in the bubble so far, but this is Dame, and at some point he was going to take over, especially with some guys out for Denver. He did that last night. Incredible performance. But he was asked something that I honestly forgot about after the game, and it was on his stance, whatever it was, 2 months ago, 2.5, I can't even remember. It's all a blur at this point. But remember when he was asked about coming back for the bubble and he had the quote of saying, if you don't give us a chance to make the playoffs, I ain't going to play. And you had the bro who ran out of the end zone on ESPN, call him like a spoiled brat and entitled and all that stuff, which is dumb because he doesn't know anything about him. But I just was reminded of that last night. It is amazing. And Sprague and I have mentioned this before. His voice has risen to a point in Portland where I'm not sure we've ever seen a guy have this much power. He's on the call with the commissioner when they're talking about formats. He's asked an opinion on things, and when he says something, it becomes a national headline. Like, it's pretty fun to watch, and he used his power to help out Portland. Now, who knows if he says that or not, if they still come up with this format. Maybe they end up doing it anyways, but him leading his voice to say, if you want more teams than just the 8 playoff teams to go, you got to give us a chance. The NBA came up with a format that benefited Portland greatly, even though the schedule was tough. They are capitalizing. And I had that like light bulb moment of like, thank God he said that, because here we are and the Blazers have a great chance of making it now.
Yeah, the only other player I think that's played for Portland that had that much influence was Scottie Pippen, but he got the influence before he got here.
Sure.
And didn't develop it here. Bill Walton was shy publicly I mean, he had the stuttering problem at UCLA. He was very introspective, and so didn't become his gregarious self that he is now until well into adulthood. So Clyde didn't seek the spot.
He's more of a quiet behind-the-scenes guy.
He was a quiet behind-the-scenes guy, didn't want to rock the boat necessarily. There were other guys who were fan favorites who were very, very public about things but weren't as active in shaping policy and things for the league and outside the league. So, yeah, he's truly one of a kind when it comes to Trailblazer history.
Well, it's great to see him fight for something like that and then take it seriously. Where he give us a chance. We want an opportunity if you want us to go.
It's like, what is this really about?
Right.
Is this just about putting on some games so you don't have to give a bunch of money back to sponsors or TV partners? Or is it about actual competition? If it's about actual competition, I will be there and compete with my team. If this is a dog and pony show, then there's too much else at risk to go put myself in that bubble.
And he was asked about that last night. The light bulb went off, and I just thought, thank God he fought for that. I remember having the opinion at the time, too, why are extra teams going? Like, just have it be the playoff teams. Get the season over with as fast as possible, and man, am I happy that they didn't listen to me, and I was wrong on that. Because Portland now is a Memphis loss away today from being tied for the 8 seed. New Orleans, as I mentioned, playing without Zion last night. And I felt like, you know, watching that game, it's always an emotional roller coaster, which is just fun to relive again as a fan, where you have your ups and your downs. And every game so far, their first four has been a prime example of that. I had like the fighting opinions going back and forth of one being upset with why are they not up by more? Denver's not playing a lot of guys. They sat Nurkic late in the game. You know, Michael Porter Jr. was really the only consistent offense that Denver had. They had a couple other guys that knocked down some threes, but it wasn't a fair fight necessarily. And there was that frustration of like, oh, why aren't you pulling away and having a better night? Because you should be burying this Denver team. But I think I reached the conclusion, and this will be the case over the next four games for them as they wrap up their regular season bubble play, that I don't really care who they're playing, how well they play or how bad they play, how many guys on the other team are playing. Like, none of that matters to me anymore. It is just about, for Portland's end goal, piling up wins. And the first win was an ugly one a little bit against Memphis. They blew a lead. Memphis got back in the game. They find a way to pull it out in overtime. The Houston win was frustrating because they played great, it felt like, and they probably should have been up by 15 or 20 at stretches of that game. But they find a way, again, to pull away late. You get the win. And then the same thing last night, Denver shorthanded. But I thought Dame said something that's accurate last night of those games can be trap games because you go into it thinking, they're not playing their guys. We're going to cruise to a victory here. And that wasn't the case. But it's just about piling up wins. And now they're at 3-1 so far through their first four games. And they're playing really good basketball right now, which I think is exciting for fans. And the main guy that continues to stick out outside of Jusuf Nurkić and Damian Lillard, because Nurk, first chance getting to watch him back, and Dame is just always Dame, it's Gary Trent Jr. I continue to be amazed by him, his mentality, his ability to shoot the ball, the defense that he brings to the floor, like coming in right away and checking guys like Michael Porter Jr. when he's got a hot hand, getting in his grill a little bit, and then, you know, I have visions from time to time of their playoff run last year, which was remarkable and fun to watch. But there were moments where you knew that they were going to be, you know, hands tied behind the back because you could trap Dame and CJ, get the ball out of their hands, and you didn't have somebody that could reliably knock down shots that would always be open. And Al-Farouq Aminu or Mo Harkless, you know, those kind of guys. And you have that a little bit. Now, Gary Trent Jr. is not going to shoot 65% from three. I know that.
No.
But what he brings, though, when teams are leaving him and him knocking down those shots, it helps out Dame and CJ tremendously.
Yeah, and you start looking at the pieces. You think about if Hood and Ariza will be back. Well, Ariza will be. He's on a two-year deal.
They're gonna pick up his. He is an option. They'll pick it up.
I think it's just a two-year deal.
Okay, I thought they had a team option or something like that.
Hood's got a player option, mm-hmm. but you gotta wonder what the market will be. Him coming off injury, as well as what the salary cap and financial scene will be for the NBA for the next season. But you look at a guy like Gary Trent Jr. and you're like, man, he has the potential, if he can accept it, to be a sixth man of the year guy for a full season playing like that. And with his energy, as a head coach, I'm trying to put myself in Coach Stotts, you know, as long as CJ's there, I want him in there. If somebody gets in foul trouble early, mm-hmm. if there's a bad mismatch, cross matchup defensively that he can go take care of, or shifting things around, I can go to him early on the bench. If he gets a hot hand, you can ride him. He's in great condition, that sort of thing. Boy, he would sure fit that role for this club moving forward. And then if and when push came to shove and there was a point at which Neil Olshey says to himself, the starting backcourt, the way that we're set up, the way that we want to play defensively, or I need a piece, I need this other piece. Zach Collins isn't working out. I got to make a deal to do it. And right. CJ's the guy that moves. You know, Gary Trent Jr. at that point can step into that role if necessary.
Yeah, I mean, you look last night, the only guys who played more minutes than him were Dame and CJ, 41 and 40. Gary Trent Jr. played 36 minutes, and they were big. He was a plus 19 off the bench. 27 points, 7 of 10 from 3, and it feels like, you know, he'll knock down a couple of contested shots every now and then, but a lot of those buckets are coming late in games when Dame is just driving and dishing, and he's open because so much attention is focusing to Damian Lillard, especially when he's having a night like he had last night at 45 points. Like, Dame's assist numbers are through the roof so far in this bubble, and a lot of it is due to the Gary Trent Jr. ability to knock down threes because he's wide open pretty often, and he's taking advantage of those opportunities. I think you never want to get too over your skis. I think we've learned that through the years of being Blazer fans, where we have guys that we fall in love with. We have guys that second-round picks, diamonds in the rough, and you think here is the next big thing. This is the next big guy. You go back to Alan Crabb was probably the most recent example of this, a guy that could space the floor, knock down shots, and they signed him to that contract. It ended up being atrocious, and thank God they were able to get rid of it after 1 year. So you never want to go completely all in, but I think the exciting part about it is he has a lot of confidence. He shows it. He's played high-level college ball.
That's the thing. And the other thing about playing at Duke is you're also playing with a bunch of other McDonald's All-Americans and blue chippers. So, and that's one of the things that Coach Krzyzewski instills is you still have to do it together. He holds his guys accountable at the other end of the floor. Well, you have a big night one night that doesn't, you know, Krzyzewski hasn't had too many teams where it's all about one guy. And so you understand you're still responsible for all the facets of the game. Some nights it's your nights to score. Other nights we need you to do other things because the matchups dictate that we're going to be able to dominate in the paint. We want to go down low, those sorts of things. The Blazers right now in this bubble are kind of like that. They're going to have nights where if they play Houston, they want to focus and go down and try and establish that. You got to be ready for those corner threes if you force the opponent to double and triple team and they kick it out. There's other ones where, okay, you're going to have to be out and be a big-time perimeter defender and take on guys that are bigger and, you know, whatever the case. So right. I think he mentally is more equipped to handle kind of that sixth man thing than worrying about putting him in the starting lineup right away.
Well, I think the reality too, if you want to get to the point where we all want Portland to get to, what you desperately need is guys like this to pop, because you just, I mean, you're in a salary cap situation with Dame and CJ's contracts kicking in, you know, in a year or two, whenever it does happen, where you're, I mean, you're just hamstrung on what you can do financially. You're not going to be able to go out and entice free agents to come because you don't have any money to spend. So it almost turns into one of those NFL situations, right, where you say capitalize on a quarterback with a rookie deal, or if you're paying a quarterback a lot of money, you got to find guys that are on the cheap, that are on rookie contracts, that you can just find talented players that you don't have to pay a butt ton of money to. And Gary Trent Jr. right now falling into that. He's not going to command a ginormous contract quite yet on the open market, but having a guy like that who's performing at a high level on a cheap rookie contract is going to help them tremendously this year, going into next year. Your thoughts, welcome on Portland, 125, 115. Where are you at on Gary Trent Jr.? You buying in all the hype? You want to see more? Are you cautiously optimistic? We have a poll question on that at Turton Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. But joining us next, Mike Richmond, NBC Sports Northwest, covers the Blazers. He comes on all the time. He's going to talk about that big win last night. And we'll ask him, where do we put the Gary Trent Jr. statue outside of the stadium? Mike Richmond next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
That's right, folks. Daily Ticker Time. Welcome back in. 12:32. I slid into his DMs this morning, and he agreed to come on to the show. As always, one of our fan favorites, Mike Richmond, NBC Sports Northwest, at Mike G. Rich on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Mike, thanks for the time, man. We're just talking Gary Trent Jr. statue. Where is the ideal place outside the Moda Center for it?
I think it's probably like right as on the Mac side. That's kind of a you know, it's not a place that people really go to much. So we will get, you know, Gary Trent's own specific spot over there.
We'll rename that street too, Gary Trent Jr. Avenue. The statue goes over there. I like where we're going with this, man. 125-115, another good win. Damian Lillard goes off. We talked to you before the bubble basketball began and your thoughts on how they were going to do and do they have a chance to make it. What were your thoughts? 3-1, and how much has your opinion changed, if at all, from what you've seen now in the first four games?
Well, I told you, Dirk, that I was finally drinking the Kool-Aid.
You were?
And my optimism has for once in my life, has finally paid off. They look pretty good. I mean, they have some obvious issues, right? Like, even against Denver last night, as well as they played, and as special as Damon Gary Trent Jr. looked, they were struggling to put away a team that rested all of its starters down the stretch. So, I mean, they have issues. When they play against really good wings, it's still going to be a problem. See Jason Tatum and Michael Porter Jr.'s performances if you have any issues. But, I mean, they're good. They've got enough talent to be in this thing, and things have kind of broke their way. I was drinking the Kool-Aid now, and I'm still holding the cup.
Now, there was a rumor that circulated the other day, and I wonder if you've heard anything on this, because you mentioned they're in their difficulty in guarding a bigger wing, Tatum, and Michael Porter Jr., who looked like a special player last night and has so far in the bubble. There was a rumor brewing that they're trying to convince Trevor Ariza to come back. Have you heard anything on that? Is there any update on him maybe rejoining the team?
Here's the bad news. It would violate league rules.
Oh, really?
They submitted their roster, and the roster didn't include Trevor Ariza. So they could have, in sort of the after they arrived in Orlando, before the thing started, there was a official roster submission, and they could have kept Ariza on there, but they would have had to pay him, and he sacrificed about $1 million to not be there. So I believe that there's definitely some truth to during that week that they were there in the quarantine to be like, Trev, are you sure, bud? Are you sure? And just couldn't get it done. But yeah, they've submitted the roster. It's just not how it works.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Mike Richmond joining us, NBC Sports Northwest. Go give him a follow on Twitter at Mike G Rich. Blazers get another win last night. They got back-to-back games this coming weekend. Are you buying in? I've seen a conspiracy theory floated out there that the Clippers, and I don't know if they've announced their starting lineup yet or tomorrow. I'm assuming they're going to take it easy because that just feels like what the Clippers are doing. But I've seen a conspiracy theory floated that they want the Blazers to get the 8 seed, so they're going to tank tomorrow because they want the Lakers to have a tougher matchup in the first round. Are you buying that conspiracy theory?
I will. I'll buy it. I think that everyone down at Disney knows the Blazers are the best team talent-wise, and it makes the most sense to give the Lakers the biggest trouble. So I don't know if they'll just straight up rest everyone, but you see this down the stretch in normal NBA, you know, normal NBA seasons when you get to late March and early April and teams are like, cool, we are getting out of the way. So I don't know exactly what the Clippers will do, but I believe that there's a pretty good chance that they'll get out of the way, just kind of like Denver did last night.
Yeah, just lay down. Yeah, Denver did. They didn't play. Jokic didn't play down the stretch. They sat a lot of guys, giving everybody some rest. That would be nice for Portland to get that tomorrow as well. Gary Trent Jr., though, I mean, we jokingly talk about the statue. He has been incredible to watch so far in the bubble. Clearly elevated his game to another level. We have that kind of problem from time to time in Portland where we buy way too much stock in a guy who's young and like a second round pick and we think he's the next big thing and then he turns into Alan Crabb. Where does Gary Trent Jr. fall on that scale? Because he did play consistently before the NBA shutdown, was turning into a good role player, but this is like a whole different level of Gary Trent Jr. Where do you fall on that scale of what he is right now and what kind of player he's going to become?
You know, I'm a believer in he's shooting like 63% from three on 10 attempts a game. He's not going to do that. Okay, that might be a little bit nuts. But I believe he is a really legit rotation NBA player. He keeps adding more to his game. A couple off-the-dribble three-pointers that I just didn't think he had. He's aced right in people's faces and then let them know about it. And then he puts on his Guy Fieri shirt after the game ends, and
yeah,
you got to love it.
Look.
Fly Fieri, as they call him. And I'm a believer. I'm a believer that he's a legit rotation player. I don't think this is like an all-star future, but what he does seems repeatable. He plays really hard and he shoots well. I think he can do that for a long time.
Yeah, it's one of those guys where even if he's not knocking down threes, which of course is not going to continue at 60%+, although if it does, hey, I'm going to take it. I'm not going to be angry about that. But he brings something if he's not scoring, which is nice to see in a young player. Speaking of another young guy that I was really excited to watch, the fans have a split opinion on him, and I don't know if this bubble basketball has helped him at all. Zach Collins has been up and down so far, some foul trouble continuing, some ticky-tacky stuff, reach-in stuff, you know, limited minutes because of it. Am I too harsh to almost consider selling my stock in Zach Collins from what I've seen?
You know, he's had these moments where he looks like a dude who hasn't played basketball since October. He's kind of forcing it a little on offense, maybe rushing the three a couple times in the post where he's just decided, I'm going to shoot, regardless of that being a good idea or not. But I think his, like, IQ stuff kind of negates that decision-making. Like, he has such good defensive instincts, and he has a fearlessness there that's really valuable. So maybe if you were, like, thinking he was Defensive Player of the Year, which I imagine is what kind of the stock you were purchasing, like a first-team all-defense type of stock, maybe sell that. But if you think, like, this dude looks like a solid fifth starter, he's kind of settled in. I think he can settle into something like that. He can be really useful. He hasn't played particularly well in Orlando, but he has not been a negative.
Yeah, that's a good point. Outside of the foul trouble, that's a good point. And, you know, maybe first team all defense was a little too much. Maybe I'll settle for second team all defense. Yusuf Nurkic, though, his counterpart, you know, is continuing to play well, coming off of the injury. I'm just in awe of watching that. I'm not sure what you were expecting. I remember we talked to you after their scrimmage games, and you're like, you're getting glimpses. He looks healthy, but not playing a lot of consistent minutes, and the field goal percentage wasn't great. But just what do you make of Nurk, and how much does he change what this team does? Like, Whiteside put up good numbers. We knew that. Some would argue they were a little hollow when he was your starting center, but I just watching them, they feel so much differently on both ends of the floor with him in. What have you made of Nurk so far?
Nurk just does so much stuff. He can pass, he can rebound, he can catch on the pick and roll, and he didn't do it very well last night, kind of rushed some of those, but he can catch on the pick and roll and dribble and make a decision in ways that other guys his size can't. I mean, there's just not too many dudes who are 300 pounds. I know he's listed at 290, so I apologize. 290 pounds, nearly 300. But a guy who can bully and has a little bit of finesse, he just does so many things. And for my money, he's better than he was when he got hurt in March 2019. Like, he looks better. You know, he's not going to start shooting threes. We got to stop buying into that. But he is going to be a bully, a really good defensive player, and someone who has so much more versatility on offense than Whiteside brought, that really, really opens up what the Blazers want to do.
Yeah, amen to that. I brought that up to open up the show today. He's playing great, but let's stop shooting three-pointers, please. I don't need to see those anymore. Hey, can you ever remember a guy coming off a gruesome injury and looking better? Like, my mind can't wrap around that.
Yeah, it's been a while, right? You know, he's got that. When Paul George broke his leg, he came back at the end of the next season and played eight limited minutes. But when he came back after that and played for OKC, he had kind of morphed into the best shooter in the NBA for a brief period. So it kind of reminds me of that, like someone who can, you know, you can't move around, you can only do so many things when you're rehabbing, but you can really sharpen some of your basic skills. And I feel like not only just having a year off to rest, but then having 4 months off to be like, okay, we're playing eight games, I'm going to get ready, has put Nurk in sort of that really, he's really sharpened what he does well.
Yeah, that's a good point. We came into the bubble just thinking, all right, you got to get within four games in Memphis. You got eight games to do it. Let's get off to a good start. They did last Friday. Now it feels like the conversation is completely different, where if Memphis loses today, all of a sudden you're in the tie for the eight seed. New Orleans is sitting Zion tonight. They're giving him, you know, a breather, not playing him on a back-to-back. Are we locked to get the eight seed? It kind of feels like it's heading that direction.
Yeah, it's weird. The bad teams in the bubble are really the ones who are pushing the Blazers right now. San Antonio just beat Utah like right before you called me, and the Suns are the hottest team in the NBA for some reason. Who knew?
Where's that coming from?
So I don't think it's a lock just because everything's so close, but I'll tell you what, my bosses at NBC are planning for a playoff series. They have been asking me about my availability for the playoffs, so the word is out.
I love it. Last but not least, Backstreet Boys or NSYNC?
You know, it's got to be NSYNC. The Backstreet Boys probably had, they had some real hits, but you're not beating Justin Timberlake. I'm talking individual talent. Like, give me Damian Lillard, you know, give me, I just want the If there's a team with an absolute top 10 stud on it, that's what I want, so I'm taking NSYNC.
There's no me and team, Richmond, all right? It's about the collective effort here. Come on, Mike Richmond, NBC Sports Northwest. Go give him a follow, at Mike G. Rich on Twitter. Does a great job, as always, covering the Blazers. Thanks so much, man, for hopping on. We always appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate you having me.
There you go, Mike Richmond. It's been fun to watch. I think his point is valid. I had the similar opinion last night, and kind of against Houston as well, although Houston didn't rest guys. But you're wanting them to pull away and separate. Denver's resting some guys down the stretch. But I have, again, centered on the opinion of I don't really care how you do it. I don't care if the final is 72-70 or 190-188. Just win, get into the playoffs, and then we can discuss all the other stuff of, why aren't you doing this or that better defensively? Get as many wins as you can. And he's right. You got to keep an eye on those teams behind you. I didn't realize that San Antonio had already won today.
Yeah, they're one back.
Yeah, they're only one back. They beat Utah 119-111. By the way, that Memphis OKC game starting here in about 17 minutes. They play at 1 o'clock today. And Phoenix won again. Yes, like Phoenix is 4-0. How? I don't know. What's happening? I don't know, but they're right there behind you. So you got to keep an eye on them. Let's get to the conspiracy theory, though, because he bought into it. I totally am as well. We'll wrap up this hour of Blazer talk as they get another win coming up next on 1080 The Fan. Kyle Bonagura, top of the hour, ESPN college football writer. What's the latest between the Pac-12 players and Larry Scott? Love me a good sports conspiracy theory. Mike Richmond's buying it. Is Jason Swigart buying it? There is one floating around the NBA that the Clippers are going to lay down tomorrow in order to help Portland get a win. And they might just be laying down whether it's Portland or not because they just, rest guys and they load manage. And that's just kind of what the Clippers do, right? They're taking things a little easy right now. One of the teams, by the way, who was lost to Phoenix. But that they want the Lakers to have the toughest possible matchup in the opening round. And I think most people at this point would argue and agree in NBA circles that that would be the Portland Trailblazers. Phoenix has been fun, but they're not quite to that same level of warrant in the Western Conference Finals last year. San Antonio has played good basketball, but they're without a lot of their stars, so I'm not sure how much exactly people are buying into that. I think people understand that Portland, the way they're playing right now, man, they are the toughest challenge. I'm not anywhere near the point of talking about upsets or even previewing that series. Portland has to take care of business first. But that is a floated conspiracy theory, and I buy into it. I think Mike brought up a good point where you see that from time to time at the end of the year where teams want certain matchups in the first round. And I think you're going to see it in this bubble. When you get to the last like 6, 7, 8 games for everybody, they're resting right now. They're not taking things too seriously, but there is a certain aspect of wanting to avoid, whether it's the Lakers or Clippers in the second round, depending if you're 3 or 4. Maybe you want to get out of a 3-6 matchup and you want to get to the 4-5 matchup, right? Or you want to drop down to or move up to a certain spot. I think you're going to see that kind of seeding movement as this thing goes on. But people speculating the Clippers could lay down tomorrow, which would help Portland immensely. I am all for it. If people want to help the Blazers get into the playoffs, man, I am not going to fight any battles on that front. Because they've already gotten a ton of help. Zion's not playing tonight. If the Clippers want to tank this weekend, hell, let's double it down. The 76ers aren't going to have Ben Simmons on Sunday. I'm all for it, man. Keep helping them out.
Yeah, I don't know that I buy the full conspiracy theory. I think NBA coaches will, I don't think they're that. Now, maybe the GM might or somebody in the higher up and says, hey, if tonight's the night you want to rest guys, Let's do it tonight. But I don't think coaches are consciously looking at it and, that sort of thing. They're managing their teams. They're trying to get their teams ready for the playoffs, the ones that know where they are. If there's a specific matchup for their own team that they can control, they might look at that. But to extrapolate it to the coaches looking at it and worried about what the Lakers are doing, there's so much between the Clippers and Lakers meeting in the Western Conference Finals that Doc Rivers ain't worrying about it.
Yeah, it won't be until the Conference Finals unless
now,
some of the Clippers
tank. I could see a GM or somebody inside the front office say, hey.
Steve Ballmer's calling them up.
If you're looking for a good day to rest guys, why don't you do it against the Blazers who might help,
they could give them a fight.
We'd like to see them give the Lakers some nonsense in the first round. That conversation I could see happening. That's where I draw the line.
Well, and I think even too, it's not just about thinking that Portland's going to beat the Lakers. I think for the most part, it would be a conversation of can they make them work? Are they going to make them have to put forth some effort in the first round of the playoffs? Again, if we get to that point, like you think in the Eastern Conference of what Milwaukee's going to get in the first round, and Golliver told us that the other day, like they got a first round bye, man. They got, come on, it's going to be a cakewalk for them all the way to the second round. So it's about, I think, if you're buying into the conspiracy theory, providing that challenge to go in the way of L.A., just to give them a fight, maybe you push them a couple of games. Hell, it would be a miracle to pull off the upset, but just to make them stress a little bit more. It is a ginormous weekend for them. It's amazing how quickly things have escalated. I remember a week ago today, we were talking about how exciting the start of the NBA bubble was for them, because New Orleans, if you remember the opening night, blew that big lead to Utah. They lost the game, and they fell to 0-1 to start their bubble play. And then Portland had their game a week ago that tipped off, I think, right at 1 or 1:30, something like that. I remember it being on during the show, where they were taking on Memphis, and you were just kind of launched into this battle. And it's been a lot of fun over the last week, but the landscape around them looks so drastically different today than it did a week ago. And a lot of it's catching breaks of, you know, the New Orleans not playing great and being very conservative with Zion. Memphis also not playing great and then suffering an injury to their second best player. All the dominoes seem to be falling in the right direction for them, and that could continue today. If New Orleans is to lose, resting Zion Williamson tonight, although they're playing the Wizards, so I'm not quite sure I'm buying into that with or without Zion. But you know, I guess I wouldn't put it past New Orleans. They put forth a pretty half-assed effort the other night. And then Memphis is taking on Oklahoma City, a game that tips off here in 7 minutes. Portland, conceivably, if they play well this weekend and you find your way, they play the Clippers tomorrow at 10 a.m., it's just going to be weird to have a game on that early. I got a DVR and I'm playing golf in the morning.
Does TNT have like a quadruple? Because it's on TNT.
It is. They have.
So are they going all day?
They have triple header. And they're all earlier Pacific time games. So okay. 10 a.m., 12:30, and 3 o'clock our time. You got a triple header on TNT tomorrow. So you play the Clippers tomorrow, who may or may not be resting guys. And then on Sunday, you get the 76ers. I mean, it's hard to see if they win both those games this weekend, just knowing the way Memphis is playing and not quite buying into trusting New Orleans, Phoenix, or San Antonio.
Well, if you get that and you're 5-1.
Dude, it's hard to not see them getting the 8 seed.
I don't know how you're not almost locked up at least the 9 seed at that point.
And then remember, you got a game against Brooklyn to close things out as well.
Yeah.
In your 8th game. I think the final two after that would be Dallas, who is a little up and down, and then Brooklyn. Those would be your last two games.
And so, well, I think this back-to-back will be important because I think Terry Stotts is going to have to use a few more guys. He doesn't want to have to burn Dame and CJ 40 minutes both times. I know that they're, you know, they're probably going to play over 30 in both games, but if he needs one or two of them to go 40-1, he's going to back off the other game. So you're going to need to see. I'm curious if where Nasir Little is at.
We haven't seen him yet.
Get a few minutes. Hazonia will have to go back in and probably play a little bit. You don't want to burn the guys out totally. Once it looks like you're kind of in that 8-9 game, Stotts is going to have to be a little cognizant of, okay, I know they'll get a day or two before the playoffs start up so they can set the matchups and TV times and all that stuff. But you don't want to completely, you know, it will hit you. You know, pitchers, when they start up the regular season, you're always worried about dead arm.
Yeah, you want to hold them at 65, 75 pitches. Make sure you ramp it up to the point where you can go full.
Make sure they don't hit a wall there at some point where you just, and you saw some heavy legs from guys yesterday.
You did. I think you saw that a little in the second half against Houston as well. That's where really, I think, to that point, you look at a game tomorrow. If the Clippers end up taking that one a little easy and you're not getting their best effort tomorrow, that's where I think it's really important to come out with a good start and bury them. To get to the point in the second half, if you can, against a B squad for the Clippers, if you will, you get a big lead, you're able to rest guys, play some of those youngsters, and then you can turn around and have some fresh legs for that second half of the doubleheader. This is their first time in a doubleheader situation so far in the bubble. They've had a day off between every other game, but they play the Clippers tomorrow, and then you got the 76ers on Sunday, so it's going to be a really big weekend. We'll preview that a little bit more coming up in the final hour of the show, but we're going to come on the air Monday, and you might be pretty darn close to locking up that 8 seed. This picture is going to continue to evolve, and you hope it goes in the right direction for them. Lots to get to in the next hour. hour of the show. I want to get some golf talk in. There's something that they could really use this weekend, and I'm hoping that it happens because I think it'd be great for the game. We'll get to the NFL. Their number of opt-outs has been finalized. What teams are most affected by that? We'll get to that coming up. We'll start, though, with Kyle Boniger, a friend of the show, college football writer for ESPN. He's been covering this back and forth between the Pac-12 players movement and Larry Scott. They met last night. What's the latest? Where are we at on that? Kyle Boniger kicks off the second hour next on 1080 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.